podcast on radio and TV entertainment, AMFM, with my amazing co-host, Miss Woody, motivational comedian Miss Woody. And you know, we had a really nice conversation when I had you and Art together, you know, on the podcast.
Yes, it was. Very good. We could have gone on for hours and hours.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was getting to know Miss Woody. I was getting to know that, you know, also besides Mr. Green being an actor, you know, he's also a motivational author as well. And he's got an amazing book out right now. And it's really, a lot of people are really enjoying his writing. And I, you know, I haven't had a chance yet to be able to read it because I, you know, as we all, you know, have a great time. But this weekend, I'm definitely going to settle in. And, you know, I can't say I'm going to be by a fireplace. But I'm definitely going to snuggle up to something and get a chance to, you know, to really dive in deep, you know, in his amazing book. And he has done amazing, amazing film projects that, you know, a lot of people, especially his audition that I recently have seen, his auditions are very powerful.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
You know, and great friend of our other amazing friend, Art Turin, as well. And they're getting ready to do their own podcast show.
It's called Chocolate and Chai, and we're going to create something different. I feel like we have a voice and we want to share it with the whole world, so you're going to have two different perspectives. You know, Art is Indian, and I'm Guyanese, and mixed with a little German, so you're going to get something different. Yeah. That. So look out for it.
Definitely can't wait. You know, it has a different spin. I can kind of feel a great vibe, just, you know, just knowing that it's chocolate and chive. Just everyone, don't miss the dessert. If you miss it, you're just gonna miss dessert.
You know? Exactly. We all love dessert, so you don't want to miss chocolate and chive coming soon.
Absolutely. All right. So, have you thought about, you know, certain topics, or is that kind of, you know, confidential right now until things are already on the surface?
Well, I think we just want to feel it out. We're going to get together and do some brainstorming and figure out what things matter most to us and what we think people might want to hear. And so we're going to go that route. We don't know exactly what we're going to do just yet, though.
You know, are you thinking of having it kind of visual as well as audio?
Well, we thought about that. We thought that maybe the first couple of episodes we would show some visuals so that people could actually see what we look like and put a face to the names. And then from there on, we'll probably just stick to the audio. Because as you know, it can get expensive trying to do all of that. It's not cheap, so we definitely want to make sure we do it right. So we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do the first 3 or 4 episodes where you see us and you hear us, and then the other episodes will just be audio.
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing. I've helped others, you know, build their own podcast as well. And I usually tell them, like, you know, they'll often say, well, I want to get into broadcasting. And I go, okay. that's amazing. And I think, you know, everyone is pretty, you know, has the podcasting bug because, you know, it's the most, first level. I think it's first level to begin to, touch bases with journalism. But I know that Art already has his foot in the door when it comes to journalism as well.
He does. He has his own production, or I guess you could call it, what would you call it? It's newspaper. Is it a newspaper or not? It's more like a magazine article slash column.
Right. The what New would you York call Guy.
It? Yeah, the New York Guy. But what would you call it? It's like his own column, right?
Call it a column or, you know, magazines are called periodicals. Or, you know, I would say.
Right. Yeah, the New York Guy. Yeah, he's a great writer. He's very talented. I went to school for journalism too, so I have a degree in journalism too. So maybe we can join forces and create something. But how did you guys come together? How did you guys create a podcast show?
Well,
Yolanda has been a expert in speaking and connecting, and it's just her thing. Myself, you know, being a comedian, and we actually met online and just connected, and I just step in from time to time to be a co-host, and loving the opportunity that she's giving me.
Wow. And you're in Florida, or?
I'm in St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. Yeah. Story. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So, do you have any shows coming up, or?
Well, I'm currently working on a major comedy festival, trying to do something big, like the really big competitions, like in comedy. I'm doing something similar to like a Last Comic Standing.
Oh yeah.
But it's all an effort to raise funds for various causes. So I'm basically trying to help and heal through laughter.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the event includes a Guinness World Record attempt to fill a dome here in St. Louis, so that's where we're raising majority of the money. So I'm still, you know, putting everything together and building a team of people to help me create history and make a difference.
Wow, it's all about touching people's lives. That's great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Yolanda reminds me a lot of myself. She's a connector. What I mean by that is she's really good at just bridging the gap, in a sense. She's good at just connecting people and introducing people to other people. She has a really good knack of pairing people up. So I think that's a gift. A lot of people, I'm just like that. A lot of people have that special gift, and I think it goes a long way. It really does. You can kind of pair and match people up very, very nicely.
Oh, yes. I've been doing that for a long time now. I'm kind of scaled back, and I look for the special one.
Right.
Because I know, you know, when you're trying to create history, it takes a certain type of person, and that person has to be totally focused and over passion. Yes, committed. Exactly.
Absolutely. I love that. I love your energy already. So when do you think this show is going to launch?
Well, every year, over the past 10 years, I've been trying to pull it off, but I'll get a little closer. The circle is coming close. It's coming full circle. So first I had to get the venues lined up, it took me like 4 years just to pitch the idea to explore St. Louis. That's where we utilize the convention center and the Dome Stadium. They're connected. So I had to go through a whole lot of motion with doing everything that it takes to at least get the idea pitched, and then and have to fall hard, get back up, fall and get back up. But the unique thing about what I'm doing, after we finally do the comedy festival, all the contestants will be included in my film production. So who knows, maybe we'll get a chance to work together, because I'm turning my life story into a multiple series.
What?
Like a comedy movie, yeah.
That's awesome. Wow, Yolanda, you're moving and shaking with some talented people.
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep up with you, Mr. Green.
You're doing a great job. That's awesome. I think that's great.
It's all about making the connections, because you just never know. And in these days, it's so hard to get your dream.
Funded.
Yeah, funded. There you go. You knew what I wanted to say. To get it funded.
Yeah.
And I just recently connected to some amazing people who are wanting to help people fulfill their dreams, but mostly focus on helping those on a mission. And that's me. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to see everything given to me by God to help more people get in a better financial position to help themselves. That's why I'm so passionate about ending homelessness and using comedy to do it. Because we need laughter. We need it. You know?
We need humor. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Us humans need humor to make it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm sorry, Yolanda. I didn't mean to just...
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I often, have stand-in co-hosts to come in. My amazing celebrity co-host, Miss Motivational Comedian, Miss Woody. And I've had a few others, Stinger J, who's related to Elusive over in Detroit. And then, of course, she's married to Craig Lane, who is the keyboardist of Al Hudson One Way. And, they are out there. He's known as they're known as the Masters of Funk. That's back in the day.
Oh, okay.
You like the funk, I think I've featured some of her music on the podcast as well. Sticker J's No Romance and Elusive Greatest Love of All, and they're the whole family's just they're musically talented. They've been out there for many years. Bringing the funk. So,
I love it. I feel like with music and filmmaking and writing or whatever you have, I think it's just important to just create, right? We are creatives, and it's so important to just be creative, because that's how I live, right? That's how I breathe. It's so important for me to do that. If I didn't do that, I don't know what I would do. So I love this whole art form.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get all serious on you guys, but
I know.
Okay, yeah, it just means a lot.
It's passion. It's passion.
Yeah, it is.
I was gonna say, it's deep passion for the art of sound and visual arts, and you're able to tell stories that can provoke a thought and emotion, really bring situations that were probably would never have been brought to the surface to become a refreshed topic. And I love what you have out there, and I want to know more. And I think. The listeners are probably wanting to know more about your book. I remember you stating that it's very motivational. And you brought about it because, you wanted to, bring a few topics that could, for the readers to really find encouragement in your writing.
Yeah, the name of the book is called Act Like You Love Yourself. And the title is self-explanatory. It's just this idea that we really need to love who we are. I think it's so important to be ourselves and be unapologetic about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It sounds so simple, but a lot of people struggle with that. And so that was my way of just giving back, because I want to be of service. I want to help people. I want to touch people's lives. And so when it's all said and done, I know for a fact that my book is going to outlive me, and it'll be something that people can read and learn from and hopefully be inspired by.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that topic. act like you love yourself within that title, you know, kind of reflects what's going on in society. And you make that connection in society because, you know, I feel that, you know, with different mediums, sometimes people can kind of lose connection with who they are and be afraid to, you know, in some cases sometimes feel the need to not be like themselves, but be something outside of themselves. Which is sometimes good, and sometimes it could be, you know, it could be, it could probably take them away of really knowing thyself, in a sense. And, you know, like Socrates, know thyself. And, you know, therefore you can really, really find, you know, find a way to be a happy medium of finding that balance. And, you know, and being able to really speak from, for where you've come from and who you are. You know, do you feel that it's it does speak about certain things that are happening in today's society, Mr. Lester?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's a lot of self-hate going on. There's a lot of hate in the world. And I just feel like if people would lead with love, I think the world would be a better place. And the whole title, if you listen to the title, right, is a post. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I know my mother would always say things like that. Boy, you better act like you. Boy, you better act like yourself. You know? Boy, you better. Tone, right? You understand what I'm saying? So you can actually hear it. It's like, boy, you better straighten up. Boy, you better act like. So that was my whole. That was my intention in creating the title. I wanted it to sound like more like a statement as opposed to just a title. It's almost like a declarative statement. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. You know?
Yeah. Or you could even an imperative statement where it's almost like you're commanding somebody to do something, but not in a negative way, but just like, listen, do you know how talented you are? Well, if you only knew how talented you are, you'd be off and running. So that was my whole goal in creating the title, and then I wanted to follow suit with that by just talking about some stories that I experienced, that was just my thinking. I always try to make something that's catchy and something that people can remember, and so. That came to me because I was struggling trying to figure out the right title, and I just kept coming up with these dead ends, and finally I came across that, and it ended up pretty well, so. Yeah, people seem to like it, so. But my goal is to do more speaking engagements. My goal is to do more public speaking. I really want to just touch the people. I really want to share my story and inspire people.
Oh, you know, I've often talked to, you know, others that are, you know, really wanting to, you know, start out, you know, speaking to others before they get to TED Talks, you know,
right.
For TEDx.
I love TED Talks.
You know,
yeah.
I often say that, you know, I think a good... There's some places like community events, festivals, churches, you know, that would love to have speakers come in. I know Charles D. Clark, he's also a transformational speaker, and I love him.
Right.
And he's actually in a film, in an upcoming film that I am developing called Monster for Somali, and as well as a, you know, a lot of amazing cast, including I believe someone that we're speaking to now.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great movie. I can't wait.
You know, and
it's gonna be good.
And you know, he, you know, before he started into acting, you know, he was a troubled teen, you know, growing up, and with the help of a lot of mentors in his life, he was able to turn everything around, for the most. the positive. And he goes around and he, you know, he's a Christian, you know, he's a very much so an avid Christian, and he goes to different churches and different speaking engagements, and he talks about transformation. He talks about transforming his life, and he, you know, and he uses his experiences growing up, you know, being a troubled teen, and then, you know, changing his life around, you know, for others to really, you know, take a look at, you know, this lifetime, you know, the certain moments, it's not something that can, that's kept forever. You can actually change it and, you know, change that negative into a positive. And there's, you know, there's many influences out there, but when you have the right influences, all those things can be turned into a positive. And this is what he's made his life to be, you know, outside of acting. He's done it for, he still travels and speaks, you know, different churches and different events, and, you know, and he, you know, he's out there to definitely motivate us, and, you know, exactly like yourself, Mr. Lester.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Wow.
You know, I love it when you can see, you know, those that have, you know, may have had trouble in the past, but they can, you know, it shows that, you know, that you can, you know, make a transformation and change it around. And, you know,
absolutely.
You know, and I love your statement. You know, I really love, that's a powerful statement. Act like yourself. To be unafraid, to be who you are. You know.
Yeah. Well, act like you love yourself. Yeah, but I think we all have a story. So just like Miss Wick said, she wants to bring her story to film. I think it's a beautiful thing because we all have that inner voice that we want to share with the world. So I love hearing about people doing that and pursuing that. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. We're here to help one another. We're here to share our stories, and we're here to be an inspiration, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you know, I know that, you know, I was inspired by her story, you know, about the day she went postal. Which is
Really?
Yes. Now, this is
no way.
Miss Woody. I think Miss Woody's with us. Still. But
did,
yeah, she had written something about, you know, the day she went postal, where you know, she was on the, she was working for the post office, and I believe the her supervisor poked her in the eye one day, and, you know, she almost lost it, and, you know, which prevented her from, you know, continuing further in her career as a postal worker, and, you know, she had to find other means for the meantime, and she wanted to, you know, write a story about that. You know, she had to, you know, she had to go to court, and, yeah, and, you know, a story about that.
I love that. I mean, I don't love, you know what I mean? That's a great story. Wow. I used to be a mailman. How long was she a mailman? Or a mail lady?
You know, for a while. You know, and then she, you know, I think she finally won her case, you know, in court, and, you know, she was able to win her case, and now she's, I love what she does. She's always, she talks about, you know, ending homelessness and wanting to, she's out there every day. She creates buttons and, you know, makes people laugh, and, you know, and, you know, she's, you know, very supportive in the community, and, you know, she talks about the, you know, in the homelessness initiative, and then, you know, I'm just inspired that, you know, Dick Gregory was one of her mentors. And, you know, he's a fascinating man, and his story is so fascinating, you know, all on its own, being him being an activist as well as a comedian and acting in films. You know, he speaks in great detail about, you know, even while he was in high school, you know, he was an activist then.
That's powerful. Yeah, I always feel like we have a social responsibility to maintain, and so many people before us put their lives on the line for us, and so I feel like we owe it to them and we owe it to ourselves to be ourselves and to spread love, right? I think love is such a powerful thing that we really need to embrace. And so every time, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a little background noise. I was walking around.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm listening deeply.
Okay, yeah, we were just talking about your...
Oh, I'm listening. I've been listening.
Oh, okay, you heard everything. Okay, cool. I didn't hear you. Yeah. I thought we lost you.
We were speaking about, the film that you were also working on called The Day You Went Postal, Mrs. Woody.
I want to jump in there. And that's what I'm doing. I'm turning that story into a comedy movie with a message. It's using comedy to show how... we should try to make a difference when it comes to bullying, different scenarios of bullying.
Right. Is this going to be a short film or?
No, I actually wanted to create it as a multiple movie series.
A series? That's right.
Yeah, I did. They are almost on postal, breaking it down as Certified Crazy is the movie version title. And Certified Crazy, Still Crazy, More Crazier and Crazier. I'll play around with the subtitles, But it's gonna be Certified Crazy.
So have you already written the script or?
Yeah, it's still in rough draft form. And the documentary when I turned it into a stage play, I had someone helping me with the rewrites. Everything is still, pretty much rough draft. It took me quite a while to get the documentary done, but it was from the help of some people who helped me turn it into first an audio piece, short film, and then into a short film. 18 minutes, it's like 18 minutes piece.
Oh, so it's out?
Yeah, I have it on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
The documentary is on YouTube.
Oh, can you share it with us after the interview? I love those.
Oh, yeah, it's just simply that title, The Day I Almost Went Postal. I'm not really sure what that is. The Day I Almost Went Postal. That's the exact title to the documentary.
He's right down like postal. I gotta check that out.
Like I said, it's an audio, and then, short film documentary is on my channel and the filmmaker channel.
He just gave
everything to me. We worked there for like 6 months.
That's great. I think I'll definitely check that out. Thank you for sharing that.
As I work on the comedy festival, I think more people will find out about it, because you know how it is. People start digging and find out who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and I don't share it like people think I should, but I know, if it gets too much attention while I'm trying to do this, then the focus will be more on that than the mission.
I got you. You're on a mission. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what we were talking about earlier before we started the actual interview, we all have jobs that we have to do and we have to live, of course, so it's difficult because we have to make so many sacrifices to support our dreams. And a lot of people don't understand that, right? They think it's so easy. They think they see a film that's done, or they see a documentary that's done. They think, oh, I can do that. That's easy. Oh. But they don't realize how much work went into it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel how much work went into just us doing the audio piece. That's only 6.5 minutes long. And to go into the studio and record the voice and then the music you add to it and narrator speaking. And I'd never done it before, so you took, quite a few takes and remembering your own lines to your own story.
Right, it takes time and money and, a lot of work.
I mean, look, I was fortunate to have the short film and the audio piece done at no cost to me. And it was out of love. The filmmaker and I, we bartered, to get it done. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah. Well, in my situation, I was a cab driver, and he was someone trying to get back and forth to work. With his own personal issues, my own personal issues, we worked together to help each other. And there was something that he put his stamp on that was helping him as a filmmaker. And when we put that piece out, there were people who saw it who was wanting to connect with the filmmaker, and it brought him more work.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. And writing my work. So sometimes, for anyone that's out there listening, think about what you can bring to the table to help someone with their dream. Because it could turn around and be beneficial to you. Because you put your name on something, especially when it's somebody creating history, you'd be associated to history. And this is something that I try to get people to understand with what I'm doing. To be able to help people get out of homelessness or avoid homelessness and help them get in position to help themselves so that they too can chase their dreams. Being associated to something like that is amazing.
Absolutely. Wow. I love it.
Very true, I'm a big advocate for those who, really understand the hard work ethic that it takes to create and piece a lot of the inner workings of a film or a show together. And assemble, those who are like-minded in creativity to really make sure that they protect their work. To make sure that when they're writing their script that they, make sure that they are able to make sure it's copyrighted. It only takes $55, at least in certain states, to do so.
Yeah, good point. So true. No, I said yes. That's so true.
And I know that the poor man's copyright is popular, but definitely taking the time out to send in their work over online to the copyright office and then mail it in. I think sometimes the longer process is better. Because at that point, they have a copy of it, a literal copy of it, and they have it filed. And it just protects their work. It just protects, the creativity process that it took to, put their work together, in a sense.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. Because when I think about what it takes to chase your dream, just trying to fund your dream, your mission, and try to keep a roof over your head, you know. And so many people do become homeless chasing their dreams. It's like they become homeless because of a loss, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, even a car, you know, any type of loss. But just being able to be a part of helping someone chase their dreams, you know, that's what I have a love for.
Say, you know, we're speaking about, you know, Chocolate and Chai, the podcast. I meant to mention that I also, you know, invited the podcast idea to Mrs. Woody as well. She has a podcast show that I can't mention on air.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I just kind of like, it's on hiatus, but it's something that I could start up at any time, and I'm actually going to be shopping around to see if someone with a name for themselves at this time would possibly want to actually take over. I came up with the idea to, you know, basically get people to talk about what they're sick and tired of, and what do they want to do about it. But we'll talk more about, you know, that when you finish your interview. I'll take up too much of the interview.
Well, I see you're doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, just doing them in stages.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's important to stay creative. Again, it's not just being alive and living is a challenge. And so I feel like you might as well just do what you really want to do. I used to be a bus driver in New York City for 10 years or something like that. And out of those 10 years, I was miserable for...
Oh, God, we have so much in common. I was a metro driver here in St. Louis.
What?
10 of the years while I was delivering mail for the post office.
What?
10 years, yeah.
Wow.
While I was working for the post office for 10 of those years, I was a public driver.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved both jobs. I drove the bus at night and deliver mail during the day, but prior to becoming full time with the driving job, I was doing like the casual temp work, and I would drive the bus like super early in the morning, like an early morning express, and then I took really long splits, like 7 or 8 hour splits.
Wow.
And delivered mail because I was still part-time flex, so they would work with my schedule, and I would go and deliver mail and then come back and drive the bus. And then once I made full-time, I picked runs that was like you can like work like a 7 hour split, run and get paid, you know, still get paid 8 hours.
Yeah,
I mean, it just worked for me for like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, then that's I wasn't pursuing my dream as an entrepreneur then, but I was still doing comedy from time to time.
We got to collaborate, because I'm sure you got some stories to share with just being a mother, right?
Well, I'm a mother of 9 children, so yeah, I got a lot.
Wait, you said you have 9 children?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, 9 children.
Your life is a movie. You really need to.
I know. It's so much that can go on and on and on.
Wow.
I tell you, whenever anybody get a chance, when you get a chance to see that documentary, because I would love to like redo the documentary with someone.
Right.
Because the way we did the documentary, based on our budget and what the filmmaker had, you know, we worked with what he had, And since then, he's got more equipment, better cameras. I mean, just the fact that he, you know, he was able to do the documentary in a way and bring everything together. I mean, he just did an amazing job. He is self-taught. He's just really good at what he do, and he's working a regular job.
Wow. We definitely, Yolanda, maybe after this call, you can connect us, because I think we could definitely work on something. My head is spinning with ideas, and, but we'll chat afterwards. I want to take away from the interview.
Absolutely, you know, definitely, and you know, but you know, I do have a question. You know, what was it like growing up? You know, who really got you really influenced into doing what you're doing today, Lester?
Well, I think my mother played a heavy role in just shaping my acting career, because she always taught me the idea of, you have to work hard to get what you want in life, right? There are no shortcuts. There are no handouts. If you really want something, you got to put in the work. So my mother, she would be working at a clothing store, and she could barely walk, but she was at work, standing up on her feet all day, just putting in that work. And I think that rubbed off on me. And so I've always had that strong work ethic in whatever I do, from packing bags as a kid, to doing construction work, to being a rapper. It's just, I've always had that ambition to work and be productive in life. So I think my mom was the number one reason why I am the way that I am.
Wow. You know, that is very honorable that you give a lot of credibility to your lovely mother, you know, and inspiring you, because I feel that that's where inspiration comes from, I believe. It starts, looking after, you know, siblings, mothers, fathers. There's countless of actors who always give credibility to, you know, someone in their family. To help them, you know, find who they were and find out, you know, what they wanted to do with their career in life. You know, there has been those, you know, such as Jim Carrey. You know, he gave a lot of credibility to his father that really supported him in his comedy career. And I believe, yeah, he was very distraught, you know, a little bit, you know, and I think that's where his connection with depression began, when he, you know, lost his father. But his father was really one of his driving forces in launching his career. His father was so very supportive in that. And, you know, they didn't grow up with a silver spoon, you know, so to speak, but his father and his family gave him that drive.
I love that. Did you guys hear about that story about how he wrote himself a check when he was a kid? Did you guys hear about that? He wrote himself, I think it was a check for, I don't know if it was for $1 million. It was a big check that he wrote for himself as a kid, and he buried it. And he said that one day he was going to cash that check. Did you guys hear about that? Do you know the story?
Me being a comedian, I don't know that story.
I've heard about that. Part of you know, I guess journalism, you have to kind of dig,
right?
And be influenced in stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But I just love the idea that he claimed it before it even happened. I think a lot of times people aren't conscious of what they say. Mm-hmm. You know, your words have power, right?
Exactly.
If you want something to happen, you have to actually put it out to the universe. So I'm always putting out that, I'm
always being positive and channeling this positive energy. And I think it's so important because it goes a long way. It might not seem that important, but trust me, it means a lot. It means a lot. So I love that story. The fact that he knew he was bound for greatness. He knew it. And he claimed it. And look at him now. He's probably one of the best comedians to ever do it. Yeah, but you guys should check it out. It's powerful. I remember him telling Oprah about the story. It's on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and you just type it up. I don't know if it was, it might have been $1 million check. I forgot how much it was. But it was a huge number. But I get inspired by stuff like that. Like you said, Yolanda, I'm always digging for things to motivate me and inspire me. So that was something that caught my eye.
Words have power, you know, and which I believe that is very so. That's very true, you know. I think I've often said it, you know, throughout my lifetime that, you know, words can build and words can, you know, kind of either build or devour.
Sure. You know? Right. Destroy you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Encourage and. Create drive. It's all a matter of how it's utilized. I mean, you know, biblical references have said that, you know, God had spoke the world into existence. So with just spoken words. So when, you know, when thinking of that statement that was already written before I believe, you know. I can only speak for myself before I existed. you know, then I believe that there is a lot of, you know, truth. That things can be manifested with words.
I remember saying that I wanted to see my name in lights and just visualize the kiosk.
Absolutely.
I was a young girl.
Right. Yeah, but it can start as young as 3, 4, 5 years old, I think. Why not, right? I feel like we all have that capability to dream, so why not dream big?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I believe that the business of entertainment is built on it. You know, how big is your imagination? When we can think about, you know, those who have really found success, like Walt Disney. Well, we think of Walt Disney, and I mean, you know, look at what Walt Disney World has come to be about now. You know, it's very huge, and they have multiple vast. Wealth in all kinds of areas, theme parks and merchandise and, you know, film. Oh, yes. And you know, and other aspects, you know, and they have Pixar, and, you know, and when we think of Walt Disney, his stories that people really thought, you know, that he was telling, that he, you know, was fabricating everything, and that basically that he, you know, only just had a little dream, and it was and they laughed at him. But eventually, it evolved into something very, very huge, and people started to really believe in him. And you know, now we look at Walt Disney World. Now, you know, I live out in Florida, and when I first saw it, you know, I was poor, so you know.
I don't know if you all know the history of where. Walt Disney wanted to get started. St. Louis, St. Louis turned him away.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, St. Louis turned him away.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was this, you know, within his autobiography, there were a lot of people that did turn him away. You know, he was turned away by a lot of people, and then sometimes all it takes is a few people to believe in you.
Right. Just one person, really. Sometimes you got one person.
You just have to just keep going and keep letting people know.
Right.
You know, and when you talk about your vision enough to where you start running people off, then that's right at the time when it's about to just take off.
Take off. Yeah.
You know, you get on the people's nerves and move those people out the way, then the right people will fall in place. That's when you have faith, you know?
I love it. Well, look at something. Yeah. I'm sorry, Yolanda.
Oh, no, I'm just green.
Look at Tyler Perry. Look what Tyler Perry has done. He's created his own world, right? This guy's a huge inspiration to everybody. He's one guy that I'm looking forward to working with. He's just an incredible guy. I love what he's doing at his studio. He named his 12 stages after famous celebrities who inspired him. So I think he's a perfect testament to what it means to not give up on your dreams, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, maxing out on everything and the dream being so big, people are saying, you know what, you're crazy, you're foolish, you know, you're working people and can't pay them, and it's like, just don't give up, we're almost there.
Right.
And a lot of people walk away, just like that, bam, you know.
Right.
And I like to tell people, when it comes to what I'm doing with the In-Homeless Mission, and I try to get people to look at the fact of trying to help people help themselves. And a lot of people will tell me about someone who's feeding the homeless, and that's not my mission. I try to look and use, what's the guy named? Williams, the guy with the golden voice.
Who's that? You know, oh,
somebody took
Morgan Freeman?
No, Ted Williams?
Ted Williams, yeah.
When the guy with the golden voice was homeless and had been on drugs and he had been in radio prior to becoming homeless. And it took someone talking to him because he delivered his message and said, hey, I have something to offer. I had this wonderful voice. And someone talked to him and then they saw, hey, this guy may be homeless, but this is value here. This is something that's going to make some real money. Look at him now. He's right back. He's got his own radio show again and doing good because he's, you know, that gift. Say, hey, I might be done, but I'm not out. Mm. I still have value.
I love that.
I just love and, you know, encouraging, you know, stories that show that sometimes that, you may see, you know, someone that, a lot of, you know, maybe people haven't seen the value and the worth quite yet, but all it takes is someone to take the time out one day to see that value.
Right. Absolutely. It just takes one person.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I say ask everybody. Invite any and every person that you possibly can to be a part of your dream, your vision, your mission, and no one can ever say that you didn't invite them to be a part of it when you become successful because you didn't give up. And that's what I do. I do that every day, all day. Offer my phone number, tell someone what I'm doing, show them what I'm doing, and let them decide. I welcome them, though.
I like it.
I always said that she's one of those people that inspire. And then I love stories that talk about, someone, you know, the ordinary person in life, you know, such as the school teacher or such as the bus driver, You know, right. Because even though it may seem ordinary to, you know, to others, it can be, they have powerful stories to tell, you know.
I agree.
Like the bus driver could be, you know, that person that someone may have, they've had the worst day of their life, or could be in danger, and the only person that they can reach out to is the person that they see every day, you know, the bus driver, and tell their story, and then, you know, the bus driver wears many hats, you know, such as the teacher, the philosopher, you know, the guide, the person who is, can be that, the person that is the counselor. It can be the counselor.
Right.
That day.
Counselor.
You know, there's so many things.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And I think you can account for that, Mr. Lester.
Yeah, you're speaking to my soul right now. That's my story in a nutshell. That's what I want to share with the world. So I will. It's just a matter of time. It's gonna be patient and keep moving forward. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. So we're coming up to a couple of minutes left, but where can our listeners find you and find your work?
Yeah, they can find me on my website. It's Lester Green with an E at the end.com, and you can follow me through my website and get access to my Facebook page, my Twitter page, LinkedIn page, my Instagram page. Everything is tied to my website. You can see my movies, my commercials, and look at some of my music. So yeah, everything is there. One stop shop.
And I guarantee you, I went to Mr. Lester Green's website, and I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave. I saw the Gene commercial, you know, him dancing, rapping.
Oh, right.
Yep. You know, I saw the one where he was talking as a bus driver. Really captivated me.
Yeah, it's been I appreciate that. I appreciate the support. I appreciate people like you guys, because you guys are what keep me going. So let's just continue moving forward, and let's create and collaborate.
Yes. I'm telling you, we it's all about collaborating.
Yes.
Right.
Indeed.
Yeah. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, I always enjoy having you, Mr. Lester. You're fascinating, and you're very you have such an open perspective in the industry, and then as a motivational person yourself in the industry. And I can't wait to see more. I cannot wait.
we'll be before we start filming your movie, but I look forward to that day though.
Absolutely. We certainly will. I think we all can stay in touch too. And
we definitely need to talk, because I got some ideas to pitch at them.
It was great meeting you, though, Miss Woody, right?
Yes.
Definitely. Are you on Facebook?
I'm everywhere. I put my friend everywhere. Okay. Everywhere I can.
I'll get it from Yolanda, and we'll just stay in touch that way.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll definitely talk, try to extend the interview on everybody after fact. Yes, without a doubt. Because I'm telling you what I'm doing. With this comedy festival and Guinness World Records, the whole purpose is to raise millions of dollars to share it. Basically, just give it back to the people. No one's doing anything like that.
Much success with that. I know you'll do a great job. Just keep me in the loop. Let's stay in touch. Let's stay connected. Let's keep creating.
Yes.
This is what it's all about, you know, on radio and TV entertainment, AMFM podcast show. And everyone, I want to thank all the listeners out there who's listening in. You just heard it from Sag After Actor, Mr. And best-selling author, Mr. Lester Green, and my amazing co-host. This is a motivational comedian, Miss Woody. And this is your host, Shalana Nolan. And everyone...
Are you a talent trying to make it in the world of entertainment? The way to do that is through social media. But how? With the ebook, How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide from author Yolanda Nolly. This incredible book will teach you how to brand yourself and how to earn profits using social media and other entertainment media platforms. The entertainment agencies will be offering you high-paying jobs. How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide. Order your copy today on Amazon and everywhere else.
Chapter 1, How to Rise to the Top When Everybody There Is Already. Think you've got talent? You're not alone. The power of the internet, YouTube, and reality television has created a big pool of famous and not so famous people. So how do you rise to the top in your career, especially as an actor or actress in Hollywood, when it seems so crowded above? These three tips will help you make the moves to superstardom and stretch your 15 minutes of fame as a movie star into an hour. Get trained. What separates the actors from the imitators? Their respect for the craft of acting. Before you spend money on headshots, find the best acting, singing, and dancing classes in your area, and invest in your career. The most talented people in the business continually train with acting coaches to prepare for roles. They don't take their gift for granted. It is quite possible to have the innate talent for a particular art, but the successful entertainers who continue to work in the entertainment industry have developed their art over time. Acquire multiple skills. Become a Jack or Jill of all trades. The stars of the future will write, produce, and direct their own projects. Don't get lost by having only one skill that can make you money. Become an actor, director, writer, producer, and even a model. Can't write? Collaborate with a young filmmaker who needs an actor or fresh new face for his or her projects. The top money makers in show business look for ways to increase their market share and find opportunities to promote their multiple skills. You must diversify your talent to stay relevant. Create your own products. Be a trendsetter. Want to be the next Berry Gordy, Steven Spielberg, Mark Burnett, or Oprah Winfrey? Create an amazing product. Become an expert in your field. But you can't be a trend follower. You must be a trend setter. Don't better the worst product. Better the best. Gordy is a musical genius. Spielberg is a film mastermind. Mark Burnett is the whiz kid of reality TV. Oprah is a successful talk show maven and the new product's best girlfriend. Find a niche, create products, and sell. But the products you create must be phenomenal, not average, not mediocre. Think like the greats. Improve upon their successes. Create amazing products that your audience can't live without. Famous people of the future are increasing their knowledge, creating products, and diversifying their talents. Some of these innovators are stealing the thunder from established stars that are still following the old rules found in the star-making playbook. Use my suggestions to stay ahead of the next group of reality stars and home video masterminds. If not, you might disappear before you even enter the game. Chapter 2. Finding ways to make money using your artistic. Whether you have great musical talent, the ability to paint, or have outstanding writing prowess, you may be able to find ways to make money by using your talent. You certainly should use these skills to your advantage and not let them become wasted on just a recreational hobby. Musicians have so many different venues to go out and sell their talent, while a real, serious artist might still be able to sell their work if they can get their work exposed to the public eye. Writers often have a tough time trying to get their work published, but have outlets like short story and freelance opportunities as well to make a buck. While the most common stumbling block for an artist to find ways to make money is often their hardline stance on not wanting to be a sellout and wanting to keep their trade pure, this will often keep the artist very poor until they are dead. The smart ones will get out in the marketplace and try and get their art sold to as many people as they can. Quite a lot of musicians will work as cover bands or do things like weddings and school proms to make a buck. And writers will sell their work writing things they have little interest in just to gain notoriety and bring in the cash as well. This is often the price an artist has to pay before they are established in their venue of choice. If you are someone who has a talent, you may want to start looking for ways to make money from that talent, even if it is a weekend gig just doing kids' birthday parties as a juggling cowboy or singing with a Beatles cover band. It will allow you to make some money doing what you are good at and potentially open some doors for you to expand off of that talent. No matter what it is you ultimately want to do with your life, letting your artistic skills find ways to make money for you cannot hurt. You never know how far your talent may take you these days, as the avenues to exposure on a grand scale are more plentiful than they used to be. From YouTube to American Idol, there are many roads to success these days. The best thing you can do is try your hand at as many paths as possible and see where it leads. If it never works out for you, so be it. You can return to your boring 9-to-5 day job and keep singing on the weekends. Chapter 3. How to make money from your crafts and art. If you are someone who enjoys putting together artistic projects, you can turn this into an opportunity to make extra money online. Whether you paint, make jewelry, take photographs, or craft other pieces of artwork together, you can turn this into a money-making activity. People are often willing to pay for different artworks which they enjoy, and as long as your works actually have artistic merit, you will have a good chance at making money from them. There are a few different websites available which can help you sell crafts and other pieces of art that you may have put together. By running searches and looking through some of the listings offered, you may be able to determine which website your pieces will fit into best. Taking the time to do your research will help you make extra money online, as you will know the best places to put your talents without wasting your time. Should you start to make extra money online through your art projects, you will only be inspired to spend more time working on them. This will serve two purposes in your life. Not only will you be bringing in some extra cash, which always helps, but you will also be able to spend time doing something that you genuinely love. This goal, which started out simply as a way to make extra money online, will turn into a great chance for you to develop your talents and skills and grow as an artist. It is definitely an opportunity which should be explored by anyone who is serious about developing their talents. Chapter 4. The right way to use YouTube to promote you. When we think of social media, YouTube is not really at the top of the list in the mind of an entrepreneur. It is less about social interaction and more of a good place to go for some distraction. This might be the case, but that doesn't mean it cannot be an integral part of marketing your brand online as an entertainer. What makes YouTube a social site is how easy it is for users to share the content with other people, as well as the ability to leave comments and subscribe to the channels they like. It is another way for a brand to reach its target audience online and grow its reputation as an industry leader. YouTube has the lowest average bounce rate of all the social networks. It is the continuous engagement from users that make it a channel that holds onto attention better than most. People are able to simply watch content instead of scroll and read. Another thing to consider is just how enormous YouTube's reach is. Over 1 billion unique visitors. That is a huge market that is largely untapped by so many businesses today. YouTube is a great channel for brands of all sizes in the entertainment world. Even for bloggers who are eager to grow their readership and build up their personal brand, can take advantage of the simple platform by uploading videos. So, as a brand, what should you be doing to get the most of all that YouTube can offer? First, fill out your profile completely. It is the same on every social network. You don't want to leave holes. Make sure that you are giving as much information about yourself as possible. Visitors want to see your info when they click on your profile, so don't leave them disappointed. Then, give your channel a good description. The channel description is like an introduction letter. It lets people know who you are and what they can expect when they watch your videos. This doesn't have to be a great work of literature. Simply a brief statement about who you are, what types of videos you will be posting, and how often. Be sure to use your keywords in your description to make your channel easier to find through a user search. Be sure to include links. On your About page, it is always a good idea to include the links to your other social sites, like Twitter and Facebook, plus a direct link to your website or blog. This is a good way to get more people engaging with your brand outside of YouTube and build your fan base. Give your page some love. You can personalize your channel art in YouTube by adding a profile picture. Make sure that it is something reflective of your brand by using your logo, colors, and even your own picture. Stay active. You don't want people visiting your page and only finding a few videos that you posted at the dawn of time. Always create new videos to post to your channel. Interact with your followers by responding to any comments that they leave. Send out a thank you when they subscribe. You can see anything being discussed on your channel under the Discussion tab. The more active you are with your channel, the bigger your audience is going to get. It is also a good idea to embed your videos into blog posts, status updates on social media, or on your website. This is a good way for you to add channel subscribers from those who are already following you elsewhere. YouTube is a key part of any marketing strategy. Are you using it for your brand?
To go home, sweet home, 'cause things are so tense. Seems the simple things mean nothing these days. House is only home when the family's together and strong.
Romance
is the new love we play. Doesn't have to be this way. To get you in the mood, with the showers between us two, with the foreplay between us two, girl, I'm finally over you. Many like to play silly games of war and roses. Truth be told, my love, the only thing that holds there. Let us see if we can put things back together. Thought we were family and our thing will last forever.
Romance
is the new love we play. Doesn't have to be this way. I've tried to get you in the mood, with the showers we used to do, with the foreplay between us two. Girl, I'm finally over you.
Forever, whatever was not a family. Show with Yolanda Nolly.